It's time to get local and shine the spotlight on someone in our community. Welcome to Stateline Business First with Dean Urban on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Dean Urban, along with Eric Jackson. My favorite night of the entire month. Once a month, EJ, our good friend, our partner, he doesn't like to be called. All right, he's a great guy. It's seeing eye to eye with Dr. Richard Miller. You know, next year is 2020, and that's what we want to make sure for everybody. Ooh, I just came that up.
That's great. Great line.
It's good to see you. Dr. Miller, welcome as always. And we were talking before we were even going on the air, and I'm fascinated. You know, one of the things I want to talk about tonight, you know, eye problems, you know, normally appear at various stages of life. You know, as you get older, it seems like some things really hit you. But
no, there are some things that you get when you're younger, too.
Oh, perfect. Because I want the young ones to get something. I mean, right, just right. So you know. How does it work? Tell me a little bit about...
You know, the thing is, you just want to mention, this is the time of the year when we really appreciate the value of good eyesight. Whether you want to enjoy the beautiful colors of the holidays or be able to see well enough at nighttime when you're driving not to, you know, run into something. So there are certain diseases at certain stages of your life, and then there's other times where you can go years without worrying. So we can start from being a baby and work our way up into old age and go through the various concerns you want to have and what you can do to keep yourself out of trouble.
So you see all there. I once asked you, I know I was amazed with your answer, because I said, you know, Dr. Miller, I know there's older patients. What's the youngest patient you ever had? And the answer was?
2 to 3 days.
And that one blew me away. I thought, oh my gosh, first of all, I didn't even know you could see a problem at that young of an age, but obviously
Yeah, we're quite able, quite well to assess someone's vision, even though, you know, like a baby, they can't talk to us. But you can tell how good their vision is by specialized tests we have. You know, you can tell whether they're 20/20 or whether they need glasses, all these other things. So that's why at that stage of life, it is important to get an eye exam. And the main concern we're talking about is getting a lazy eye.
I've heard that term so much. Thank you for bringing this up. I'm curious, you know, with a lazy eye, first of all, is it treatable? And then, you know, is there any stage where if you have it, you shouldn't let it go because it
right.
could be
well,
a problem?
The key is the earlier you detect it and treat it, the better the results. So let's say you find, you know, a baby who's, you know, a month old.
Okay.
You can fix the lazy eye literally within a month on someone that young. Let's say you find someone who's 7 years old. 7 years old, it may take a year or two of therapy to get them back to normal vision.
What is a lazy? I mean, is it just?
This is common too. We see it in about 6 to 7% of patients, and it just means that one of your two eyes, is not seeing well. Now, the most common reason for that is the eyes are not straight. So one eye is straight, the other eye is turned in or turned out or turned up or turned down. And the brain would see double. So to prevent that from driving you crazy, seeing two floors, two steps, a set of staircases, is the brain will suppress the image in one of the eyes.
Okay.
It automatically does that. And if that stays present, that suppression long enough, it never gets better. You know, once you hit about age 9 or so, you're fixed for life and you cannot improve on it.
Will it always be crooked like that then? There's nothing that can be done?
Well, the eye will be always crooked. And that cannot be fixed. But what's worse is you can't fix the vision either. So when you have a lazy eye, you want to detect it because, you know, your 1-year-old baby is not going to say, hey, you know, I don't see good in my right eye.
Yeah.
So you want to pick it up. And there's a couple different ways. Number one, you can pick it up by just looking at the child and seeing whether the eyes are straight. if the eyes are not straight, and babies, you know, their eyes kind of wander around a little bit, so you're looking for something that's kind of constant. But a constantly in or constantly out, you want to have that child taken to your optometrist or an ophthalmologist to see if it's truly a lazy eye.
Mm.
And you also want to remember that most of these are hereditary. So if you're a parent and you have a lazy eye, or your parents had a lazy eye, it's likely your children can end up with a lazy eye too. So first thing we do, we bring back vision in that eye. And you do it in a counterintuitive way. You patch the good eye. By patching the good eye, you're forcing the brain to use the bad eye. And that will develop the vision. And once you do it for a while, it's stable and it'll stay good. The next thing you have to do is then correct the doubleness. In other words, muscle surgery or prisms and glasses to bring the two eyes back together so they're both straight.
So you can fix this if you do it at a young enough age.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's quite fixable.
You know, as kids go to school and they have to get their vision tested, has that helped create
it, helped tremendously, but the only problem is that's a little late. You know, you're picking up kids going to school age 5, age 6. It'd be nicer if we can get them when they're 1, 2 years old. You know, as I said, the earlier we get it, the easier it is, the more successful the treatments are.
Years back, was there not a fix to this, Dr. Miller? Why would people let their child go?
I mean, think it was just a lack of general knowledge. I mean, they've been patching children for, you know, 60, 70 years. But, you know, as I said, your child is never going to complain that he sees poor in one eye. And kids cheat on tests, you know, they peek around the side of their hand. And so you have to do a controlled environment where you actually, you know, really check their vision. And if you're not an eye doctor, you need them to be talking to you, so you have to wait till that age. So that's why parents can help by, number one, get your kid in to get checked right away, no matter how old they are, if you have a family history of lazy eye. And number two, if you notice the eye's not being straight. And you'll pick up almost all the cases.
We are talking with Dr. Richard Miller, seeing eye to eye. And just remember, next year is 2020, and that's what we want to make sure everybody has, 2020 vision. Dr. Miller, one of the leaders in eye care in the entire country. You know, and kids bring home so many different things from school. It used to be, you know, we've talked about lazy eye and what we can do, and, you know, and then there's pink eye, and it's like, don't bring pink eye. I don't even know what pink eye. I know your eye gets blood or something, but
it's the worst. Yeah,
I don't know much about pink eye.
The only
time
that I ever woke up and I couldn't open my eyes, and I thought that something was seriously wrong with me. Yeah.
So thousands and thousands of cases I've seen. So what pink eye is caused by the adenoviruses, the same ones that cause the common cold. Some people get a cold. Some people get pink eye. Some unlucky people get both.
Oh, my goodness.
So the first thing is, it's extremely contagious.
That's what I've heard. Now, is it contagious just... So if you're rubbing your...
Yes. Jeez. So you rub your eye.
Okay, my eyes are watering.
Your child rubs his eye, then he touches the doorknob.
Okay.
You touch the doorknob, you rub your eye, and then a week or two later, you get pink eye.
Really?
Yeah.
The germs stay...
Well, they're viruses. They're not bacteria. They live for like almost forever.
Oh, my gosh.
And you can't...
Get out of here, Jackson.
This was a couple decades ago.
You can't kill them with any of the standard chemical washes, you know, because they only kill bacteria. They don't kill viruses.
What do you do then?
Well, the only way you can get rid of them is to wash your hands and wash them off your hands down the drain so some poor fish or something gets pink eye. But yes.
Really?
Yeah. So it's interesting. Years ago, I used to see many more epidemics of pink eye, where you would go to the office and you'd see like 60 people in 1 week or 100 or 200 people.
Yeah.
By simply being better sanitation, we've cut that down. People know better. Wash your hands. If you have a cold, you know, don't touch anything. Don't share towels, things like that. So... we do see less and less, which is great, because the problem is, once you have pink eye, can we fix it? And the answer is no.
So all the medications for like pink eye, I mean,
Well, can you cure the common cold? That's the question
if
I have to
do,
ask you.
You're going to be...
If you can't cure the common cold that's caused by endoviruses, you cannot fix pink eye.
And it's something where you have to wash your hands, too, and not use sanitizer because you need the virus to get off of your hands, right?
That's right. And the sanitizer only kills bacteria. It doesn't kill viruses.
Got it.
So you have
so if you
to
get pink eye. That's
he
what
had
you
it 20
do.
Years ago. Is he still contagious?
I'm like B.
No. So the problem is there's multiple strains. So you can get more pink eye. And it's always been my impression that children go to school, they mix the viruses, and the worst virus there is, they bring back home and give it to their parents. But that's just my supposition.
And he talked about you can't open your eye. I mean. So it kind of like goes shut, right?
Well, some do and some don't. It depends on. There's one type called hemorrhagic conjunctivitis, and it actually came from Cuba years ago. And the eyes were swollen shut. You could not even open your eye. Haven't seen any in years, but you know that was about 20 years ago. A gift from Castro.
Oh my gosh! So pink eye is something they talk about and. You know, one of the other things I know with the eyes, I've heard people talk about, Dr. Miller, that they get migraines and they want to be in a dark room and it's like very sensitive for light. Have you heard that, EJ?
That's
same
a concussion,
thing?
Dean.
Yeah, that's what it is. You're right about that. But it's all affected. I mean, the eyes seem to have an effect.
Well, let's
Am
let's
I losing
talk.
My mind
No, you're not at all. So what happens in a migraine, which is common, you know, maybe some 20% of people can get a bona fide migraine. So it starts off with the blood vessels in the brain shrinking down, closing down. Why? We don't know. Inflammation. No one knows for sure. So you don't get blood to the visual system of the eye, the back of the brain. And you will get a particular pattern. You will start to see wavy lines, flashes of light. It's always in both eyes, and it's always to one side or the other. It's either to the right side in both eyes or the left side. That lasts, you know, 5 minutes, 25 minutes. Sometimes the vision can go completely black where you see nothing at all. Then the blood vessels will dilate, and if they dilate enough, then you get the severe headache from that.
Wow.
The classic migraine, severe, drives people crazy. And, you know, we have some new treatments that just came out actually to treat that inflammatory pathway that causes the migraines. But what we want to focus on is what's called an ophthalmic migraine. In an ophthalmic migraine, you get the visual changes, but you don't get the headache. And these are incredibly common. They're so common that I think every person in the world has had one at one time or another. Because if I talk to my office where I have 45 employees, every single one will admit to having it.
Really?
I get it myself. I get one about every 3 to 4 weeks. They're more commonly brought on by stress also. And they last 5 to 10 minutes, and people tend to either get really nervous about them or just blow them off.
What are the symptoms?
Basically, blurry vision.
Okay.
To the right side or the left side.
Check.
Both eyes.
Check.
Yeah, and you get wavy lines, pretty colors, flashing lights. Some people will go on to get completely black, and then, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes later, your vision comes back and you're back to normal. No headache is the key.
Wow.
And the way you can tell that that's a minor thing rather than major, it always happens in both eyes. So I always tell people, well, cover one eye. Do you have it in the other eye, too? They go, yeah, it's slightly less in the other eye. Well, once it's in both eyes, you know it's in the brain. You know it's migraine. And you don't have to worry about it, too.
Hmm. Wow. Wow. I mean.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. You know, the other question we've talked about before, but I want to bring up, too. LED lights, I've heard they are damaging for your retina. Is that true? Or?
It's probably true. What happens in LED lights is they emit more blue light spectra than the standard incandescent or fluorescent lights. And there's some evidence that blue light is damaging to your retina, especially if you have diseases like that come with age, like macular degeneration. So it's something I worry about because everything we do now, we're in front of an LED light, whether it's on a computer screen, our phone, or, you know, everyone is retrofitting their houses with LED lights because you save 80% on your electric bill. So that's sort of a concern. Now, Your own body in some ways protects you. With age, the lens in your eye gets yellow, and yellow is a blue light blocker. Huh. So with age, you know, you're sort of protected, but not when you're, you know, 15, 20, 30 years old. So you can buy what's called a blue light blocker. You can have it put in your glasses. It's clear. You don't really need blue sunglasses or anything like that.
Right.
But if you're spending a lot of time on a computer, phone, you know, in a house with bright LED lighting, it probably would not be a bad idea to have that put in glasses.
We talked to Dr. Miller about macular. You just brought it up. You know, and that's where you put the new lenses in the eye, correct?
No. Macular degeneration is just aging change in the
retina. See, I've got so many things. I'm worried about.
You're thinking of cataract surgery.
Yeah, I got news for you. I'm worried about everything. I want to know what's going on. So, you know, we want to make sure, you know, that we're talking. The other thing, and we've talked about in the summer, I'm hearing all these horror stories about different people. Every year, I can't imagine you being in this. I had friends, true story, he's mowing. Hits a pine tree, doesn't see it. His eye is all messed up. I mean, I've heard of little rocks going, you know, and nobody wants to, you know, we're supposed to,
sure.
But we don't. You know, all the eye injuries, you know.
Well, you name it, I've seen it. I've seen them all.
All bad.
So on Monday, the lady celebrating with champagne.
Oh, no.
Hits her, gets, somebody else opened the champagne bottle. Hit her in the eye with the cork.
That's a lawsuit on your birthday.
Yeah, well, it was a friend, you know. But
used to be.
Yeah, used to. Yeah, so there's a couple situations you want to be careful.
Oh, my gosh.
Certainly, certain sports with small balls are more likely to hurt the eye. So let's say you're playing softball. Those softball's big. If it hits you, it's going to hit your forehead or your cheek. It's not going to hurt the eye. Now, let's go to something small like golf balls, racquetballs, handballs, badminton shuttlecocks are notorious for creating severe eye injuries.
Ooh.
So when you're in sports like that, you want to be very careful, especially fast ones like racquetball and stuff. You've got to wear eye protection.
I learned that the hard way. I was hit, you know, and it's not dead on, but I was hit where you'll see stars.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they have the glasses in at your facility. I'm sure you guys
get into sports glasses that protect you.
It is absolutely. If you have younger children playing, I don't care what it is, that is a must. I mean, it really is.
Well, even older people. If you look at the NBA, you're going like, how come some of the players are wearing safety glasses and others are not? Well, I'll tell you, I almost guarantee the ones that are wearing safety glasses already got poked in the eye with a finger or an elbow and got something serious, and that's why they now wear the sport glasses.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We have it in hockey. Up in Canada, in the junior leagues before you turn pro, they used to have 17,000 to 20,000 eye injuries a year until they mandated a shield in your helmet, and it went down to zero after that. Yeah.
Wow.
So if you're in certain sports that are more likely to injure the eye, you really got to be careful and wear the guards. Contrary to what people say, they really don't cut your side vision down that much. But you got to protect your eyes. You're only getting one pair.
Yeah.
Now, a second set of circumstances is where you're grinding or working on metal, hammering things. Whenever you're hammering metal on metal, you can get chips that fly off, hit your eye, go through your eye, and actually blind you. So you want to wear safety glasses when you're doing those kind of procedures, just to protect yourself.
And you see these, and it seems like common sense what we're talking about, but you always get some people that feel like this won't happen to me. It happens to everyone.
And it just takes one time too. It's
time. You only get one mistake, one good one.
Right.
By the way, is the person with the cork in the eye doing okay?
She will in a month, I think so.
Oh,
she had
man.
So much blood in the eye from the injury, I couldn't see the back of the eye. But we did an ultrasound. At least the retina was intact. But you can get a cataract from that. You can get later glaucoma. You got to be careful with the old flying objects.
Oh, my gosh. You know, some of the things you've seen over the course of time, I mean, it's like, really? I mean, it's like...
I know.
You've seen it all.
I've seen it all. The people looking, you know, they make a... If you're familiar with those potato cannons?
Yeah.
And people who look down the barrel to see why it didn't go off. And you name it. Unfortunately, I've seen it. Most things you can fix, but you'd rather they don't occur.
You must come out of the room sometimes and just goes, okay, it goes into the book. I mean, it is really something.
And I'll mention one more thing because it's the right time of the year. Battery explosions.
Really bad
for eye injuries because it's plastic shrapnel. And this is the time when people's cars don't start. They think they're hooking up the battery correct. You want to be like 20 feet away from whatever battery you are hooking up to recharge. Make sure you're ducking away or turn sideways or wear safety glasses because way too many of those injuries occur also.
Oh, my gosh. Again. All right, let me ask you this. You have an eye injury like batteries or the cork in the eye.
Sure.
How much time do people have to get to you? Because I'd be calling you at home, Dr. Miller, now.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You want to go to the emergency room first because that's the easiest. They're always open.
Okay.
I may not be open.
Sure.
And what you want to determine is the eye itself intact or does it have a tear in it? Because if the eye has a tear, you need surgery right away. If the eye's intact, then you're just waiting for the blood and some of these other issues to settle down. But an open eye injury, you need surgery to repair that right away.
Oh, my gosh. And then, again, I assume something like that, if you're on call, they'll call you and...
Right, yeah. The emergency room can detect, they can do ultrasound or CT scan and tell if the globe's ruptured and or if something's in the eye, like a piece of metal, things like that.
There used to be a saying that if you smoked, it's going to cause problems for your eye. Is that true?
Yes. Unfortunately, smoking causes a couple issues. Number one issue, and it's more over time, it will give you a cataract at a younger age.
Okay.
So a heavy smoker, they'll come in, they're 40 years old. They shouldn't develop a cataract till they're 60 or 70, but they have a cataract that looks like they're 80 years old. So it definitely causes cataracts.
Does everybody get cataracts? I mean, are we all going to get them?
Yeah, everyone will get a cataract if you live long enough. By age 60, half of people or more have a cataract. By age 70, it's 100%.
Huh. Really?
Yes.
Can I make an appointment?
Well, listen, if you have to get something wrong, a cataract is the best in the world because it's the most common elective surgery done in the United States,
yep.
And it also has the highest success rate of any surgery.
No Am I? Problem. Do I get to request? Because I want you. I don't want.
I do them all.
Thank you.
22,000 and counting.
Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. So by age 70, everybody has them.
Oh yes.
Can it be 75?
Well, it's just going to be worse by then. They just get progressively worse with time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Not that I'm close. Easy, I still easy. Have a few
you
years.
You got plenty of time.
Easy to
you
fix.
You got plenty of time.
You know, we have all these wonderful new advanced technology implants that when you put them in with cataract surgery, most people don't have to wear glasses after that. Yeah, you can correct astigmatism, nearsightedness, farsightedness, the presbyopia, the ability to read without glasses. So it's kind of a wonderful world.
That'd be good because I can't read right now.
Right.
So thank you. If I get those, I'll be able to. I'm in. You also talked about the detachment. When you said they check to see about the detachment.
Yeah, so retinal detachments, the retina is the tissue that lines the inside of the eye.
Okay.
It's sort of like your digital chip in a camera. It takes the images and converts it to electricity, sends it to the brain. So the retina itself, especially in people who are nearsighted, people with larger eyes, tend to develop peripheral holes. They're up near the front of the eye. The hole can then fluid can come in and separate the retina from the back of the eye. That's what we call retinal detachment. If you pick it up early when it's just a tear or a hole, we can simply laser it in the office. Pretty easy thing. If it progresses to a total detachment, that needs a surgical repair in the hospital. And you'd like to catch it when it's small because it's easy and very successful rather than having a full-time detachment. So the classic findings, highly nearsighted people, thick glasses.
Okay.
Can it come with an injury to the eye? You're more likely to detach if you get an injury to the eye. And it has a classic presentation. Typically, you see like flashing lights, streaks of lightning bolts. Not like a, it's not like a migraine. It's streaks of white light. You get a lot of black floaters, and you lose your peripheral vision. So somewhere up, down, left, or right, you get a gray zone. And if it progresses, then you lose all your vision. So then you want surgery, you know, soon to get that repaired.
You talk about age 50 and up. There's so many different things. I can get confused. But I got to tell you, my palms are sweating just thinking about this. So what are some of the things that, you know, for people 50 and up, some of the different things that we need to look out for?
Well, and that's why, you know, a lot of these diseases increase at age 50 and up. So that's why it's recommended that you get a dilated eye exam age 50 and up every single year.
All right.
And you'll pick up these problems before, you know, most of the time before they get severe.
I'll make an appointment tomorrow.
Okay. So first one, and probably the most common one, is age-related macular degeneration.
Okay.
So this is a retina disease. It's somewhat hereditary, more common in women, more common in smokers, and it affects 30% of the population over the age of 50.
Okay.
Initially, the main type we see is what we call dry type. You look in there and you just see early scarring. And what we found over time is that it's kind of a nutritional deficiency, because we can treat it with very high-dose vitamins, and that'll slow the progression down by 30%, which is kind of
interesting.
Nice.
Interesting.
Now, there's a subset called, that's the dry type. The subset is called wet macular degeneration, and it typically follows the dry. You get new blood vessels growing inside of the eye, and they break open, hemorrhage, and create a lot of damage. Now, in the old days, which is, we'll call that 20 years ago, almost everybody went blind from this. But now we can inject into the eye, right in the office, chemicals that shrink these blood vessels and can stabilize your vision and improve things.
Wow.
It's wonderful. We've cut the rate of blindness by 50% in the last 10 years.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing.
So, but, you know, a lot of times you won't notice it yourself. So you need to see the eye doctor, because it starts as just a little blurred vision. It's something you would pass off as, well, you know, I'm getting old, that kind of thing.
Also cataracts, I know we've talked about.
Cataracts, yep. Yeah. So they all come with age a little bit older.
Okay.
Floaters.
Yeah.
So they say that almost everybody gets floaters with time. And the reason is the jelly that fills the eye. When you're young, where it touches the nerve in the back, has a circular scar on it.
Okay.
However, that's in your, what we call our blind spot. There's no retina there. You can't see there. So you don't notice the scar. So you get to age 50 or 60, that jelly will naturally collapse forward in the eye. That scar comes off the nerve, and then it's floating in front of the retina, and you start to see it. So they are associated also with flashes of lights, and then you get these black specks, and they could be, you know, they could be a simple line. They could be a curve. They could be elaborately described as horse heads or anything, and very annoying. Now,
does it go away?
Or sometimes they'll fall down below your line of sight, and you won't see them as the jelly collapses more. Other times they stubbornly stay there. But you can take a laser and treat them. It just takes 5 minutes. Zap it with a laser with an 80% success rate
in
getting rid of them completely, or at least making them smaller. Now, unfortunately, these lasers are not common. Like we have the only ones in northern Illinois. I have one in my office in Rockford and one down in Dixon. But it's a simple 5-minute treatment. It's covered by insurance. So really can help people get rid of those annoying floaters.
You also, you know, how about night vision?
Well, and this is something that happens to everybody, but you can't fix it. And it has to do with our adaptation, our cycling with dark and light. So what happens, there's a chemical process going on in your eyes where you have to get used to being in the dark. So when you're young, for example,
Jackson,
he can go from light to dark, like step in a dark movie theater, in 5-10 seconds, he can see the seats and sit down.
I don't even remember where I'm at.
In the winter, sometimes when it reflects off of the snow, I guess, there's that high contrast of light versus dark. We're going inside just to a normal building like this. It does make a difference.
Yeah, you get the reverse. So, once you're night adapted, once you're dark adapted and you get a bright light, you're dazzled more. And that occurs with headlights. Yeah. But the problem that naturally happens as we age, especially 60s, 50s, 60s, it takes longer for that cycle to occur. So if you're 60 years old and you walk in a movie theater, you may not be able to see the seats in the dark for, you know, 50 seconds or a minute. And then, of course, you have the same problem when you're driving. So when he's driving and he gets flashed by oncoming headlights, he's back to normal in 5 seconds. Someone who's older is not. And that's why the trick we tell people when you're driving is that's don't look at the oncoming headlights. Look off to your, you know, the side of the
line
road,
or something.
Your line on the side of the road, so you don't get that flash and then have your delayed dark adaptation.
Wow. Dr. Miller, as always, time goes way too quick.
Oh, no, we're at that time again.
We are, yeah. And we don't even get through all our different things. So, you know, you'll be back in, you know, a few weeks. And I really want to continue some of this because it really is interesting for eye injuries. And you always give such great information. You really do. And thank you so much. And it really is a pleasure having you come in. I mean, you are like the best, my friend.
Oh, no. Well, you guys are great. You're too kind. But I think it's just nice. It's always great to educate the population. There's so many myths about eye problems, and most of them are treatable if you know what's going on and get to the doctor to get things taken care of.
That's Dr. Richard Miller. This is Seeing Eye to Eye. I want to thank Dr. Miller. We'll do it again in a few weeks. And don't forget, it's 2020 coming up, and that's what we want to make sure everybody has 2020 vision, and you can start by making an appointment to see Dr. Richard Miller. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with more after this on Sports Fan Radio 1330.